Third parak of Avos, second Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim Omer, Had Mispalel B'Shlomo Shel Malchus, She'il Molei Mero'o Ishes V'Eichayim V'Lo'o. Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim would say a person should daven for the peace and welfare of the government, because if you wouldn't have the fear of the government, people would swallow each other alive. And the Rabbeinu Yonah explains that a person has to daven for shalom on the whole world, and to feel the pain of others. And that's the derech of tzaddikim. So the concept of mispal b'shlomo shel malchus is that we have to be community-minded people. We have to be aware of our surroundings. We have to concern ourselves with others. And in the grand scheme of things, it should bother us if people swallow each other alive. In other words, on a very simple level, he's saying, you don't want anarchy. You don't want lawlessness, because then people are so terrible, they don't kill them first and then eat them. They eat them alive. Right? That's one way to look at it. Rabbeinu Yonah's point is that we have to be concerned not just about ourselves. We have to be concerned about others. And that's not limited to my neighborhood, not limited to my community. For kol ha'olam. And this is a famous idea, I'm sure you've heard it at one time or another. The Sefer that Shimon Shukup wrote on Talmudic issues has a fascinating introduction in which he talks Musar, and he describes how people have to concern themselves with others. And he says it's a question of how wide do you expand your ani. People worry about themselves. Who am I? So am I myself only to the exclusion of all others? Do I include my wife? Do I include my wife and children? Do I include my siblings? Do I include my extended family? Does the ani include my neighborhoods, include my community, Kaisel? And ultimately, the greater the person is, the more he is. And as the more the ani includes. It's a very well-known concept. So Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, Mispal b'shlomo shel machlus, you have to daven that there should be peace in the government, because it'll be terrible for everyone if there isn't. So that's how Rabbeinu looks at it. A person has to be pained with the pain of others, care about others' issues. And you should daven for others, and daven for the shalom machus, because there's a shalom machus, then there's shalom in the world. So, you know, the people who walk around with the signs, peace on earth, there's nothing to it. We want peace on earth. We want it to be shalom. We don't want it to be mulchamis, and these things should concern us. It's well known, the Gemara in Yevamos, that Ein Karnis Bala Olam, El Bishvil Yisrael, that bad things don't happen in the world, disasters and the like, are all for Klal Yisrael to learn a lesson, and to pay heed and do tshuva and to daven and so on. We are part of the world community, and it's important for us to recognize that we have such an achrayus. That's one approach to this Mishnah. But there's a fascinating explanation given by Chaim Volozhin, and if it wasn't of Chaim Volozhin, you would say it was a Chassidish pshat. And very often we find these things that the Vilna Gaon would say things that someone else without knowing who said it, you would think it was a Rebbe who said it. Rav Chaim Volozhin says that Yisoid, and the Vilna Gaon said this as well, not in the specific spot, but the concept. He begins with the Mishnah that explains the Melchama of Amalek in Moshe Benu's time, where the Pasuk says, when Moshe Benu lifted his hands, he lifted up his hands, and the Mishnah says, when Moshe lifted his hands, Klal Yisrael were successful in battle. Is it the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu that does Melchama? It's the teacher that when Klal Yisrael looks up and they make themselves subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when they would succeed in battle. And the same is true of the Nechash HaNechoshes. The Mishnah says that at the time people were being harmed, and he said, put the snake on a stick and everyone look at the Nechash, and that'd get better. Does the snake hurt? Does the snake not hurt? Does it help or hurt? teretz is you look up and you see the Ribbono Shel Olam and you think of Hashem, and that is going to be the Yeshua. Not so much looking at the Nechash and Nechoshes. You know, that's the origin of the Caduceus. The symbol, universal symbol of doctors, is the snake wrapped around the stick. That's the Nechash and Nechoshes from Chumash. So, Chaim Volozh explains the Mishnah that we have to understand when bad things happen to people, punishments occur. This is not revenge. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not vengeful. The chet grasps the chote, and the chet needs to be beaten and shaken to separate and get away from the one who is sick, the one who has sinned. As it's in a marshal, many swarm give this, that the chet clings to a person like an illness, like body lice, whatever is disgusting in our minds would fit the metaphor. And you have to get rid of it. And sometimes getting rid of it is painful. Sometimes there are creams and ointments and treatments, and sometimes there's pain involved. But it's the only way to get rid of it. So you do whatever you can to get rid of it, even if it incurs pain. So he says, that's the pshat in suffering that comes after a chet. The suffering that comes after a chet is part of the cleansing process of eliminating the chet. And could you imagine, he says, a person is going to daven and beg to Ribbono Shel Olam to take away the suffering? The suffering is absolutely necessary. You know, he says, a little child is all filthy. The mother puts him in a hot bath, and he's screaming and howling, get him out of the bathtub. He doesn't want to get a bath. But it's the only way to get him clean. And if you'd understand, have a little moseichel, he'd understand. You don't scream when someone's getting cleaning you up. You're appreciative when someone's cleaning you up. But as a little kid, he screams and howls. So he says, that's what we're like. We're screaming and howling when we suffer. And ultimately, this is to benefit us. So why are we screaming and howling? So he says, fine. If that's the case, why are we davening at all? So what are we davening for? Why are we davening for Yeshua? What are we davening for? When service come, why are we davening? Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, the real reason why you daven is because of the Chil Hashem that comes along with our suffering. Because ultimately, when Klal Yisrael suffers, whether it's individually or communally, there is an effect in Shemayim. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin puts it in the context that the Shechina is Bitzar. The Shechina is in pain when we're in pain. And what you're supposed to do is to daven for the Ribbono Shel Olam's tsar to go away. We're supposed to daven that the Ribbono Shel Olam's kavayochol, the Shechina's tsar, should be alleviated. That's the tsar, not our personal tsar. It's the fact that there's a Chil Hashem, we don't understand what the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing, that there's a tsar by the Shechina. That's the tsar that we daven for. So Rav Chaim Volozhin says, that's what the Mishnah is saying. Havim espalel b'shloima shel malchus. Malchus means malchus shemayim. Melech malchei hamelech. We have to daven that to be shalom in the Ribbono Shel Olam's malchus. That's what we're davening for. And if there isn't shalom in the Ribbono Shel Olam's malchus, so there's all kinds of troubles down here. But ultimately, the way he puts it, that's what we're davening with. Moshe Rabbeinu lifts his hands in Melchoma. Put your hearts in Shemayim. When your person's sick, looks at the snake, it's to Shemayim you're looking at. The person has to focus on the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. In a nutshell, what Chaim Volozhin is saying is that when we daven, we really shouldn't be davening for ourselves. Our davening should be for the Ribbono Shel Olam's Bria, which is a very difficult thing. This is not a simple thing. He gives another marshal in the same context. A child falls down off a ladder, and he's knocked unconscious. The parent is beside themselves. What happened to my kids? I survived. Not what happened. When the medics come, they go to the hospital, and he comes out of it, and they say he'll be fine, but he's all in bandages. He wakes up with a terrible headache. He's in terrible discomfort. But the parent is much more relaxed. You can't understand why he's so relaxed. I'm in such pain. They didn't recognize the pain the parent had not knowing what's going to be with the child beforehand. Afterwards, the parents are relieved. Yeah, he's in pain. Hashem, he'll get better, it'll take time, and he'll be treated. But you can't compare the tsar at the first time to this. So he's saying, Ribbono Shel Olam is kaviyachol the parent. We cause Ribbono Shel Olam tsar when we do things wrong. What's going to be? What's going to be the outcome? Are we going to get through this? We do tshuva, we won't do tshuva, will we recover from this or not? It's a big tsar, kaviyachol, by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Only afterwards, when we're getting through the tshuva process, so then, or the kapara process, so that tsar can go away. So he says, tefillahs have to focus on the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, not our own. And again, I say this is a very high madrega. This goes to another point that the Vilna Gaon has said, and that is, when we daven Shemona Esrei every day, so what are we davening? We're davening for parnasa, we're davening for das, we're davening for refuah, we're davening for gula, there are all kinds of things we're davening for. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows what we need. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows exactly, he knows better than me what I need. So why do I have to daven? It's a famous question. So I should daven at all. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows exactly what I need without me asking for it. So what am I asking for? So the simple answer is, you're davening to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who you need to go to for these things. You know what you need. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows what you need. But you have to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who's going to deliver you the things that you require. So that's why you daven. That's one approach. According to Vilna Gaon, you're not davening for yourself in any of these brachas. Ashkenazi Gadol did not intend you to daven for yourself. Every bracha you're davening from the Ribbono Shel Olam's vantage point. That when I am lacking chachma and das, it has a negative effect in Shemayim. When I'm lacking parnasa, it has a negative effect in Shemayim. When I'm lacking refuah, as a negative, all these things affect Shechina, affect Shemayim, and I'm davening that the Shemayim end of it should be okay. And if you do that, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of you along the way as well. That's how he looks at it. So when you get a halacha shachar that says, in every bracha of Shemona Esrei, you're allowed to daven for something you need in that particular case. So you're davening for das, davening to pass your test. You're davening for, and every point, you know, you're giving for parnasa, you could daven to get an interview, should work out well, you should get hired for the job, things like that. You're allowed to, in every bracha that's relevant to the bracha, you can insert a relevant tefillah. According to Vilna Gaon, you don't do it. You can say it. According to Shulchan Aruch. According to Vilna Gaon, you don't do it.
I thought we don't talk in, like, during the, I think it's better not to.
This is why. If somebody asks me, I would say, I used to say different, but I say now wait till the kind of sir. Because of this Vilna Gaon. Also because of true for Ramesh. Ramesh also felt it's not the right thing to do. He didn't say, quote, Vilna Gaon. He had a different reason about the wording and how carefully you're going to say it, so just put it in the kind of sir. But the bottom line is, according to Vilna Gaon, his whole approach to tefillah is different than our approach.
So
his whole approach to tefillah is on a it's on a Ribbono Shel Olam level. It's not on a personal level. And that's how he understood the Ashkenaz Gedolos Takonis, which means you're not adding anything personal in Shemona Esrei. The whole thing is non-personal. Anything personal, you'll do an old kind of sir. It's a whole different way of thinking about tefillah. So what I'm saying is, Chaim V'Lozhin here in Ovo says the same concept, not referring to Shemona Esrei, but that's how he explains the Mishnah. The Spal B'Shalom Shel Malchus, the Kavon of your tefillah should always be the Shalom of Malchus Shemayim. Yeah.
How does my parnasa affect Malchus Shemayim?
Because if I don't have parnasa, then it's Achil Hashem Klapi the Shechina.
In other words, other people would look at it and see that Jews don't have parnasa.
Right. Right. Or even on a personal level, Achil Hashem could simply be, why isn't Hashem taking care of me?
So that's not,
I'm an El Chayid. Why don't I have parnasa?
But that's mean if that makes the
Chal Hashem. You know, the mice of this lady. And one of these cure things. She gets up and asks the Rav, I don't understand. My friends in Israel married Arabs, they all have families. I married a Jewish man, I do what I'm supposed to do, and I have no kids. How do you explain that? You ever see this? It's an amazing video, whatever it is. It was filmed. The Rav was filmed. It was Amon Yitzchak. He was giving the shir. This lady stands up. I mean, Av doesn't do everything right, but she says, I do everything right, and I married a Jew, and I have no children. And all my friends, they married Goyim, Arabs, and they have children. So, in her mind, that's a Chal Hashem. Right? That's a Chal Hashem. How could that be?
Not for her, it's for her friends.
for her, it's a chilul Hashem. She said, how could it be? I'm doing what's right. I don't have kids. So that means that means Hashem is not watching out for me. So he said to her, you're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam for something. Maybe he's asking you for something. And he said with the Maamar Chazal that if you give me this to open Pischa Shel Machat, I'll open up worlds for you. He says, you want children? Cover your hair. Cover your hair. So she said, fine. And they give her a tichel, and she makes a shechion, and she puts on a tichel. And then you see her saying she came home with her tichel on. She said, I came home that night, and my husband, I'm crazy. My husband thought, I'm nuts. I lost it. I went to this class, I come back, my hair covered. And he didn't talk to me for 3 days. And finally, he came around to talk to me about it. And eventually, he came with me to classes, and they started keeping Shabbos. A year later, she had a baby boy. A year later. And it was just the point they were filming the original class from the year before, and she's getting up and screaming, how could this be? And a year later, they have her at the bris, and he's the sandik at the bris. So there's an element, my point is an element of chil Hashem even for ourselves. Like, how could it be? It's not right. Why is this happening to me? So now, not all of us have that thinking.
It's strange, because if you think that way, you're saying Hashem has to give it to you, then you shouldn't be deserving of it.
Right, so he also said, you have to do something. You can't just expect a freebie. You got to do something to deserve it. It's not a question of veering a chil Hashem. It's obviously you have to live a Torah lifestyle regardless. The point is, when tzaddikim suffer, it is a chil Hashem. It's called Shechina Begalusa. It's not the way it's supposed to be. When Rishoyim do well, it's also chil Hashem. And conversely, when Rishoyim are punished for the chatoim, it's a Kiddush Hashem, and when Tzaddikim are rewarded, it's a Kiddush Hashem. But we don't always see it. So the Shechina is in Golus. There is a Golus component. And when we dive in to bring us back from Golus, and we're suffering in Golus, according to Chaim Volozhin, we're not talking about ourselves. We're talking about the Shechina in Golus. The fact that the world doesn't recognize the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I mean, the world is a crazy place. It's getting crazier every day. You know, the just America started, now European countries are starting. This whole business with men marrying men and women marrying women, this is totally nuts. The Gemara says, like, you can't imagine that thing ever happening in society, in a civil society. And
the Gemara talks about
yes, it does. It says there are three things you'll never see, never happen. One of them was this, ksuba lezacher, a marriage contract between men. One of them was to go to the supermarket and find in the meat department human flesh. And there's a third one. And they're all just as odd. It's impossible. And yet, we see what's going on around us. Who knows what's going to be next in the meat department? I don't know. Things that were inconceivable are conceivable. So, society's in a bad place. And you could say this is a big chil Hashem. It's a chil Hashem. This is Shechina Begolos. So, again, Reb Chaim Volozhin, Vilna Gaon, when they were daven that our bitter Golos should end, it wasn't because we're in a bitter Golos, it's because the Shechina is in a bitter Golos. The Shechina is in a bitter Golos.
About, like, the Golos, Shechina, like, bad tzara about it, that's not, is it the society that we live in, or is it the Jews in the society? Like,
the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Melech Malach HaMelochim. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the whole world, the whole Bria. You know, there are people, it's very interesting. Some of us focus only on the religious Jewish world, which isn't right, because all Jews are Hashem's children. So you can't, like a parent, tell a parent, well, don't worry about 9 of your 10 kids. One of them's good. Mm-hmm. Of course they care about the 9 of 10 kids. What do you mean, don't care about them? You do care about them. So you can't just make off with the irreligious Jews. Hashem cares about the irreligious Jews very much. And the next level is, you can't say, okay, so you have the Jews, don't forget about the rest of the world. I mean, what's the story of Yonah? Nineveh, it's a big city. They're all non-Jews. The person, go, come to Tshuva. I don't want them wiped out. What do you mean, it's Nineveh, it's Goyim. Yeah, that's right. They're my people, I created them. They're not Banim LaMakom. They're not Hashem's children in the context, like the Pasuk, but Hashem created them all. All of the world is Hashem's creation. And the Baruch Hu cares about that too. And again, going back, the simple definition, what's he talking about? Who's going to swallow each other up? The Jewish people? The front people? I don't doubt it. He means the whole Bria. We have to worry about the Bria. We have to worry about the universe. It's a big achrayus. You know, we have to worry about everybody. We do. Jewish, religious, not Jewish, we do. We don't just discount them. That is for sure a kolos of the Shechina, when no one in the Bria recognizes, you know, we're a very small, again, only the Eochid, the very small segment of the world population. What do we say in Al-Kina Kava? The day will come when the whole world will recognize Malchus Shakai. There's a goal here. The goal isn't just that Klai Yisrael should all be from and keep Shabbos. The whole Bria has to mark in Malchus Shakai. I would say Rosh Hashanah davening too, but we say it in Al-Kena Kav, but Al-Kena Kav comes from Rosh Hashanah davening, that's what originally was. Mm-hmm. We say it all the time. That's what we say in Aleinu. We say in Aleinu, the whole Bria has to come to this. We should lead them to it. You know, we should be the guiding light, but ultimately it's for everyone, all Bria. So it's definitely a concern, it's definitely a Chil Hashem in the Bria at large. When these things go on in the world at large, it's definitely a Chil Hashem. So every bracha is Menasrei. Ashkenaz Gedolah, according to Vilna Gaon, composed a tefillah that we can understand for ourselves, but could also be at a much higher level. And again, I'm not saying we're on this, you know, that we're capable of doing this exclusively, but we should simply be aware that it exists, such a concept of doing it for Hashem's sake, not for our sake.
Couldn't the idea that the things we're asking for will further Kiddush Hashem?
Well, I hope so.
Is
hope
it the
so.
Same idea? Or
no, it's not, because we're still personal. In other words, on a very low level, when I'm uncomfortable or I'm in pain, so I have my questions about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, this lady, so when I'm better, now I don't have those questions anymore. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is furthering Kiddush Hashem on a very low, localized, personal level. But in the bigger scheme of things, in other words, how many of us feel bad, really feel bad, when you see a Jewish person driving a car on Shabbos? People ask me all the time, almost all the time, can I invite someone to my house for Shabbos? They're not sure what Shabbos yet. And they might drive one way. I can't tell them to, you know, I'll tell them you can stay by my house, but I know they're going to drive. And these are serious shilas if you're a Kiruv worker or you wanted to be nice to someone at work and so just want to come to the house Friday night to have a car of them. And many times we're successful at Kiruv just like that. That's, you have someone, a coworker, why don't you come Friday night? And you can have wonderful results. But the question is, they're going to drive on Shabbos. So people always consider, you know, are you allowed? Or they know it's a shila. And some people are more lenient, some people are more strict. If it would eat you up that someone's driving on Shabbos, like, would the question even start?
Yeah, because then they're going to stop driving on Shabbos if they see your Shabbos table.
They'll be driving anyways.
No, eventually they will stop.
Yeah, but at this point,
no,
you
I know,
but
if you don't, if you don't, if you don't invite them to
that
the table,
too, they're going to be driving anyway.
You're the one.
The shail is because you're causing, but that, my point is, some of us do feel bad. Some of us do, but like, does it really eat us up? That's the question. How upset do we get? And this, you know, goes back to the Gemara that explains the two episodes at the end of Sefer Shoftim, where there was a story of Pesel Micha. Micha had an idol, he had a ministry, and people came, and it thrived. Was a thriving ministry. And then there's a story in the Navi of Pelegish Begiva, where this woman was abused and she died, and the people were outraged, and he cut up her limbs, her husband, sent it all through Eretz Yisrael, and people were so disgusted at what this thing had happened, and he told them what happened, and a whole civil war came out because who had jurisdiction? Was it for Shevet Binyamin to deal with on their own? Or was it for Klai Yisrael to deal with? Is it a federal crime? Is it a state crime? And they fought a bloody civil war, and tens of thousands of people died between Shevet Binyamin, between Klai Yisrael. Tens of thousands of people died. And the Gemara says, what happened here that so many people died? Like, what onesh did Klai Yisrael deserve to have such a punishment? And the Gemara says, people were so upset over the crime against this woman, which is okay. You can be upset about a crime against a woman. It's what to be upset about. And she died. They should be upset. Who is upset with Pesel Micha? Who is making a civil war against Shevet Dan for Pesel Micha? Who is standing up for Kavod Shemayim that there shouldn't be Pesel Micha ministry in Eretz Yisrael? No one. There was a kitruk. The fact that no one stood up, there was no righteous indignation, there was no one willing to bear arms, no one willing to deal with Pesel Micha, but you are willing to deal for Kavod of a human being. And again, you shouldn't be mocking a Kavod of a human being. That's not the issue. The issue is, but where was your indignation with Rebbe Rishlan? So, to a certain extent, are we guilty of the same thing? Are we upset when we are confronted with people do chatam against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Not Baruch Lechaver, but welcome. How upset are we about it? So, again, the Vilna Gaon's concept of tefillah was to transcend the personal level. It's the golus of Shechina. It's the tsar of the Shechina. When you get to the brachas about Geula and redemption and Mashiach coming, and that's all for the Shechina, not for ourselves. Again, we could, on our level, we'll die for ourselves. My point is, there's a higher level of doing this in Kavod Shemai, not for ourselves. And it's true, on a personal level, we'll have more Kavod Shemai perhaps if we would not suffer, but at the same time, that's still a very small, you know, concept of what it's about. So that's what Chaim Volozhin's take on being mispal b'shama shal machos, to daven on an elevated level, that your tefillah should be focused on machos. Now, the next Mishnah, Reb Chanina ben Tradin, our Mishnayim she'yoyishvim v'ein b'nein d'vei Torah z'ei Moshev Leitzim, if two people sit together and there's no Torah between them, this is a Moshev Leitzim, and it says in Pasuk, Moshev Leitzim l'yashav, first Kapitel Tehillim, but two, Ashnaim she'yoyishvim v'yeshvim d'vei Torah, if two people sit there's Torah between them, Shechina b'neihem, that has Shechina among them. Like it says, V'az nidbu yir Hashem, yishav e'yo v'yachshev, v'yishav v'yishma y'kosev, v'yishav 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 v'yishav. And yet, that's only two. How you know one person learning Hebrew kinata alav? This Mishnah has parallels afterwards. The Mishnah says in Mishnah, later on, if Chalafdish Kvechananya, 10 people sitting in Oisik B'Torah Shechina Shur B'Neyem, because of Pasek, even 5, brings a Pasek, even 3, brings a Pasek, even 2, the same Pasek, Ozni B'Yor Hashem Yishav Eyo, even 1, like it says, Chomok Mashar Askeshmi Yavolecha V'Techa. There it's Mashma, the Shechina does come. So you have these two Mishnayos telling us that when people are in Torah, the Shechina comes. And my understanding of this mission, I think, is what's explained in the Mefarshim, is that you bring the Shechina down to this earth through Torah. And when people do Averis, it sends the Shechina away. When people do Torah Mitzvahs, it brings the Shechina down. The goal is to bring the Shechina down. The goal is to make the place a world, a place where the Shechina is comfortable. The goal is that the Shechina should not be in Golos. And what the Mishnah is saying is that's achieved through Torah, perhaps in a greater extent when there's more learning, but even an individual who learns also has that power. The Rambam in Yarech HaZot, Yisrael HaTorah, says that's ultimately what Kiddush Hashem is about. Kiddush Hashem means bring the Shechina down. Doing Torah and Mitzvahs that the Shechina is present. And ultimately, when there's enough Torah in the world, then the Shechina will be more noticed everywhere. So it's almost as if to say the antidote to the Chil Hashem of the Shechina not being noticed and the Shechina in Golos, the antidote is Torah and Mitzvahs, and that brings the Shechina down. That brings a hashra shechina, that makes the world a place for the shechina. The Medrash goes through how from the time of the Avos, the shechina was brought down level after level, closer to Matan Torah, the Ribono Shel Olam was on Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael saw the Ribono Shel Olam on Har Sinai, whatever that means. And unfortunately, the Chatoim that went through the Sfarim of Navi drove the Shechina away, Kavayach. So it's our avoida to bring the Shechina back. It's our avoida to do the things that bring Hashua Shechina. And that comes through living a Torah lifestyle, living uplifted, living with Kedusha. And all of that brings the Shechina. All of that makes the world a place where the Shechina can reside. Yeah.
Does that have to do with like how much Torah and Kiddush Hashem there is, as opposed to how much of the negative influence?
Well, let's put it this way. When you build a house on a Ruchnias level, building a house, a Jewish house, when you're being burned in your Bayis Neman, you want to make sure your house is a place where the Shechina is comfortable. And you don't want to have things in the house that drive the Shechina away. On a personal level, on an individual home level, whether it's an apartment or a house, you want to make sure your house is a place where the Shechina can come. You want the Shechina in your house. You don't want a house where the Shechina, I can't go in there. There's this and the other. It doesn't belong in a house. I can't be together with this. The Gemara says certain things are incompatible with Shechina.
Cool.
We can't live together. One of the things the Gemara says is Arayas. And that's it's based on the Psukim and Machne of Kiseise, that Machnech Kaddish. You have to have a holy Machne. The Shechina will not hang around by Arayas. So if there is anything that is immoral in that context, Shechina says, I'm out of here. I'm not hanging around. There's a Gemara that says, when children disrespect their parents, Shechina says, I'm out of here. There are three Shutfim. So I'll hang around because there are cheres the parents. I'll stay. If there's not, I'm gone. Goodbye. There's certain things that, you know, it's almost like we could figure on our own. But these specifically, Gemara mentions Arayas. It mentions what Kibud of the Aim. There is, I think it says by Lashon Hara or by arrogance, by gaiva. The Shechina is not interested in hanging around. The world isn't big enough for the two of us, so to speak. I'm not hanging around with this guy. So these are things I have to work on. Anava, Kedusha, Tahara. And I think it's important that people think about that. Think about what kind of home they want to have, and is the home they're going to have a place that is Shechina friendly, so to speak. And if you think about things, and maybe you'll come to a decision, you know what, maybe this isn't good I to have in my house. And you get rid of it. And whether it's publications or periodicals or whatever it is, you have to think about that. What belongs in a Jewish house? What will bring Shechina into my house? These things are worthwhile to consider. It could be on another level. You want your house to be a place of Kedusha and Tahara, that your children should grow up in a wonderful environment that's nurturing for Kedusha and Tahara. Right? That's another important point. But as far as the specific concept of Shechina, there are things that Shechina says, I'm not hanging around here.
We always learn that sneeze, someone's not sneezing,
right, because of Machaneh HaKadosh. Kedusha HaMachaneh, right? Requires for Shechina you have to have Kedusha Samacha.
So even if there's Torah, then
right, but it doesn't mean you can't change in, you know, obviously bedroom, the bathroom, whatever it is. That's still considered, whatever's considered acceptable halachically is fine. Just don't walk around the house in a way that's not appropriate.
And the same thing in global.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It could be, again, it's not really how a person dresses as much as I think it's also about printed material, and people have to be very selective on what printed material they allow in their house. Stuff like that.
What do you do if your kids are disrespectful? Like, it's not as easy to cancel a subscription as to, you know.
There are wonderful
parenting books.
Books that can be helpful. And they're not printed by art school. I have my list of recommended reading when parents need. And as I said, they're not printed out. They're not in your local Hebrew bookstore. There are techniques, there are things a person could learn how to relate to children and get them on board. It doesn't always work, but they're very effective. I think a lot of it has to do with just not knowing what to say and how to say. We're not given a manual when we get married, okay, here's how to raise your kids. You know, and a lot of people think it comes natural, it doesn't come natural. And some people have good examples, good role models, and some people have bad role models. So it's important to get it right. And there used to be classes given in the community. I remember there would be a series of lectures on parenting, and I haven't seen it in a while. In some communities, I've seen them as mandatory. If you want your kid to go to the school, you have to go to these parenting lessons, classes. A lot of parents in this day and age have abdicated the role of parents, and they think the school is everything that parents should be doing. For example, let's give one example. I think parents are relying on schools to determine which books their kids should or shouldn't read. This would be a parent's responsibility. See, that's a very small example. I think things like that. There are things that are parents responsible. And they just are too busy. They went to shiurim. They're doing chesed. They have no time. And they just abdicate the role of parenting. So that's a problem. And it used to be, once upon a time, parents were totally devoted to their kids. Nothing else counted. There was nothing else they did but their kids. They were very invested in their kids. Maybe they had smaller families. I don't know. Maybe they're less busy. But in today's world, it's a challenge. And sometimes you need a little education as to what is the best way to do things. So I am an advocate of that. So if someone has that issue, either that or call the toll-free number for the total transformation. You hear that advertisement. And your kid will turn around.
For small fee.
I'm very curious to see, like, is it the same things that I've been reading all these years, or is it something actually novel? But it could be just the same, you know, true tried tactics and
they don't change with the times.
Some things don't change.
Right?
Some things don't change. Okay, let's stop here.